Hey everybody, Phil Pringle here with the C3 Church Global Podcast. So glad that you joined us today. Thanks for jumping on. I am going to be in one of the most important conversations I can think of today with my good friend and colleague and one of our team, Danny Karotz, who's been our worship pastor in C3 SYD for over 4 years and has been responsible over many years for being the lead singer, the lead writer of so much of our praise and worship that has come out of our church. Welcome, Danny. Good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Pastor Phil.
Well, such a pleasure. And just before we get underway, I really want to urge you as a listener to subscribe to us, follow us on Instagram, go to the website, tag us and share. Let's get the word out about how churches can be vital, alive, and exciting in this area of praise and worship. We're going to talk about preaching in other episodes, talk about leading and team building, connect groups, so many things. But today, this area is like the fountainhead of church life. And it's a conversation where I'll be sharing some stuff and then Danny as well. I wanted to focus in on a passage of scripture that even Jesus quoted in the New Testament in Luke 4, but it originated with Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 61, where the prophet said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And then he goes through a vast list of things that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him to do, which you may say, well, that was what Jesus claimed. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do these same things." And as it travels through, it's like healing the brokenhearted, opening the eyes of the blind, setting at liberty those people who have been bound up. And then it comes down to, he has anointed me to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. And in that little concept there, which is an enormously powerful thing for you and I to grasp, he says, to put the clothing of praise on people, to replace the spirit of heaviness. Mm. And I thought that at this time in our planet's history, there couldn't be a more important thing for churches to engage in than praise. Because if we can clothe our people with a garment of praise, it'll negate and be the best antidote they've got to the spirit of heaviness. Danny, we've written, well, you've written a song recently called Awake, O Sleeper.
Yes.
Which is a great praise song. Talk about that for a minute.
Yeah. Scripture in Ephesians 5, and it says, wake up, O sleeper,
right,
rise from the dead. A lot of us would hear that scripture and think that it's been written to the unsaved, to the unchurched, as if it's a call to salvation. And there would definitely be an element of truth in that. However, it's written to the church, and it's calling. It's a call for the church to rise up.
So
and
you're saying
to
the
wake
church
up
might be asleep.
Yeah, I think all of us at some point in our
a bit sleepy
in our Christian walk and in our walk with God have fallen asleep.
Right.
And so that scripture and this song is a call to people in the church to
wake up.
To wake up.
Yeah. So the C3 music,
yep,
team.
Yep.
What's the Instagram?
C3.music.
C3.music have released this, just about 3 weeks ago, four weeks ago?
Yeah, 3-4 weeks ago, yep.
It sounds fantastic. I want us to just play a short segment of this. This is only a few seconds of this brand new song. Let's listen to it. How good is that?
Come on.
Now, that's a pretty serious message, but it's got such a buoyant theme about it.
Sure.
And sometimes I think we think that we've got to be morose and melancholic to get a serious message out there.
Sure. And I think in particular, like the lyric is wake up.
Yeah.
It'd kind of be a bit ironic if the music made you fall asleep. Right. So I think there has to be some buoyancy to it.
Absolutely.
Musically, but also I think when it comes down to it, it's a spirit,
right,
is what we're talking about.
Right. What do you think the difference, if there is a difference, yep, between praise and worship is?
Something I remember you said years and years ago, Pastor Phil, thanksgiving is about what God has done.
Yeah.
Praise is about what God does.
Yeah.
Worship is about who God is. And I think in particular, we're talking about the state of the world right now. I think it's so important that we are reminded and that we remind each other about what God has done, because that gives us hope for the future for what God will do. Because if he's done it before,
right,
he'll do it again.
Right.
And I think just and being in an atmosphere of thanksgiving and praise, I think is I think it's crucial to your Christian walk and your walk with
totally.
God.
Now, some people would think that worship is like superior to praise.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a level up somehow. Talk about that.
And I think you know, you talk about the Holy of Holies, mm-hmm, like in the Old Testament, mm-hmm, and I think worship. I think of worship as that,
right,
that intimacy with God.
Yes.
However, it's not that worship is any more superior than praise. It's understanding that thanksgiving, gratitude, and praise, it's biblical.
Right.
That's how we enter God's presence.
Right.
We enter his gates and his courts with thanksgiving and praise.
Sure.
So that's the doorway.
I totally agree. And, you know, I believe that we underestimate the power of praise.
Definitely.
We tend to think that's the throwaway start of the
yep.
service. You
yep.
can take it or leave it. You can arrive late.
You
walk in 10 minutes later, and then you might find the meat of the worship is happening.
Sure.
Whereas that, you know, just clapping hands. And actually, there is an enormous power in praise.
Yep.
And personally, I think that if you don't go through the praise level, you're not going to get to the worship
sure.
level, just like the holy place that you mentioned before.
Yeah.
You got to go through that outer court,
yeah,
then the inner court,
yeah,
to get to the Holy of Holies. And you can't just do a big leapfrog and jump in there, because I think each phase prepares our heart and takes us deeper and deeper. But each one is equally as important.
And I think the louder your praise, the deeper your worship will be.
That's awesome.
And by loud, I'm not talking about noise, mm-hmm, or hype. But as far as that spirit, that attitude, that front-footedness,
right,
is a word that we would use,
yeah,
you know, here in our church.
Front-footed worship.
But I think the louder your praise, the deeper your worship will actually
right.
be.
And actually, that comes from a physical posture.
Yes.
When I introduced that term, front-footed worship,
yeah,
it was because I was trying to describe what I do when I worship.
Sure.
Now, when you praise, you can be fairly physically active, but when you worship, it's a more, you know, reflective, maybe even sit back.
Sure.
In your posture. But I found that if I leaned forward physically,
yep, yep,
on my front foot.
Sure.
So this isn't a metaphorical statement. It's actually an instruction for your physical posture.
Yeah.
Lean forward. Put your weight on your front foot, lift your hands, and you'll find that you'll activate your spirit at a greater level with greater energy than just by being in a reflective, melancholic, laid-back kind of thing. Now, you mentioned a word earlier, Danny, which is interesting to me. You said it's not hype, it's praise. And some people might think, oh, you're just hyping the crowd up. You know, it's
sure.
just like jollying everybody up and trying to get them. And so that kind of leads into the idea it's not real, it's not authentic. And we hear that word a lot today, and it's a good word, obviously. We want to be genuine. We want to be authentic and real. But authentic doesn't necessarily mean that you've got to be depressed or
sure.
low or dark. Or actually, authenticity must be engaged in joyfulness.
Sure.
So that I'm genuinely joyful.
Yeah.
However, not everybody is actually like that. So then they have to put it on.
And I think that's exactly the point.
There is a conflict there, right?
Yeah, well, you quoted that scripture before, you know, praise being a garment.
Yes.
And that word garment, or that item of clothing that it's talking about is an item of clothing called a mantle, which is like a loose, loose fitting robe. But I think that's exactly what it is. It's something you put on. I don't like the wording, you know, fake it till you make it.
No.
Because that can have a somewhat negative connotation,
totally.
But when it comes to praise, it's something you put on.
Yeah.
And David, Psalm 103, what does he say? Praise the Lord, O my soul. Mm. He's not talking to God.
Right.
He's not leading a congregation in worship.
Mm.
He's talking to himself. Perfect. He's leading himself in worship. Praise the Lord, mm-hmm. O my soul.
Mm-hmm.
And so, praise is something we put on.
Right.
We talk about spontaneous worship.
Mm-hmm.
But praise is intentional.
That's awesome.
Praise is a decision. Mm-hmm. It's an attitude.
It is. And the Bible commands us to rejoice.
Yeah.
So if it commands it, it means we are able to obey it.
Exactly.
And emotion, we can command our emotions, like you said, like David said to his emotions, come on, guys, get up.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Don't insult him by being miserable.
Yeah.
When he has forgiven you, set you free, healed you.
Yeah.
And give glory to God. And I think that you don't have to do anything to be negative. It just happens to us. It's
totally.
A human condition.
Sure.
And the world we live in right now has got a lot of heaviness in it. And to think that, okay, I don't really feel joyful, so I'm not going to be joyful, is mistaking what being a believer is. Being a believer is intentionalizing your obedience to Scripture. And if it's saying rejoice, then we may not even have a reason to rejoice. But that's where it is. It's like the prophet said, though the fig tree doesn't blossom, and there's no herd in the stall, there's no grape on the vine, yet I will rejoice in the Lord.
That's right. I love, like David says earlier in the Psalms, he says, why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad?
Yeah.
And he goes on to say, I will hope in God.
Yes.
I will praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And I think, and all of this doesn't mean, you know, we can't be raw, honest, or real with where we're at with God. And you'll see David all throughout the Psalms pouring his heart out to God. But with David, what always starts with heartache or discouragement, despair, always ends with praise.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a turning point all throughout the Psalms. And I think if every believer can lay a hold of that and grab that, I think it's a powerful thing.
There's always hope with God. And I think that to have a spirit of praise on you, I think we wait to get to church.
Sure.
Before we praise God.
Sure.
I would listen to at least one album a day of praise and worship music.
Yeah.
And there are some that I've listened to 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And I generally find, because I do it when I'm working out or riding a bicycle or running along the beach, you know, exercise, I got these things in my ear and I'm listening to an album or I'm listening to a podcast in the car. And so... because I'm exercising, I prefer the praise songs because they keep you motivated.
Sure.
It's like listening to some lively song. But I inevitably will find that it energizes me at every level just to listen to strong, God-glorifying praise and worship songs.
Yeah.
It's an awesome thing. And I think we can do it in our homes.
Yeah.
In our exercise, in our homes. Our homes can be church.
Yeah.
We can fill our homes. We should think of our home as a church. Paul wrote letters to the church that is in your house.
Yeah.
And in these days, with an online services.
Yeah, exactly.
you're in church.
Yeah.
In your house.
Yeah.
Don't be thinking, oh, when we all get back together and then we'll be able to sing and jump around. I mean, I can't wait for that. But right now, learn the art of praise in private.
Yeah, I love that. On that, I think, in my mind, the opposite of praise is cynicism.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a very real spirit.
It's true.
That can creep into the into the church.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at, you know, the famous passage of scripture, David, you know, dances undignified before the Lord. And what happens is wife Michal ridicules, criticizes him, you know. And then he goes on to say, you know, wasn't before man that I was dancing and worshiping, it was before God. But then the scripture goes on to say that from that day on, she couldn't have children. And I think what cynicism does, it shuts down fruitfulness.
Right.
And although that's talking about it in a physical way, but I think in a spiritual way, there's a spiritual barrenness that cynicism produces. And I think perhaps one of the greatest hindrances to the move of God in our churches and maybe even revival is that spirit of cynicism.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, filling your mouth with praise is so important. And here's the thing, Danny, I love people like you who got such a good spirit. And that's because you spend your time worshiping. But let me tell you this, your service to the church and to the body of Christ is unfathomable, because every weekend when you sing songs, and people sometimes are cynical about like the depth. I was just thinking, what are people cynical about? Well, maybe it's about the depth of the song. It's not like the old hymns, or it's the repetitive nature.
Sure.
But you know what? I go away every Sunday, and when I wake up the next morning, there's a song playing in my head.
Yeah, amazing.
And you put that there, you know, because it got repeated. And we live in such a world of distraction that we have got to focus and drill those songs. And because the advertisers, I could repeat the little jingles from advertisers here right now if I wanted to, because they're easily recalled.
Yeah.
Like the David Jones one, the Toyota one, Oh What a Feeling.
Sure.
I mean, there's just, it's only like 2 seconds long.
Yeah.
But they drill a hole in your head. And I believe we need to drill better holes, and for want of a better term, but to create better mental thought patterns than what the world is trying to put in us, and to develop grooves of praise in our people's hearts and minds, so that those songs kind of sing themselves.
Sure. I remember Darlene Check hearing her say this years ago, music gives scripture wings.
Beautiful.
And there's something about music when you put it to lyric that it gets in your mind. That's why we learn the alphabet. That's why we learn our times table by melody, because there's something powerful about it. Everyone might not remember every point to a sermon,
right?
But they'll remember the melody to a chorus.
Totally.
And they might
will.
Wake up the next morning, like you're saying, and exactly. It's in their mind.
Exactly. That's the power of worship and music and song. I think the whole of creation has music in it, has songs in it. And God has gifted people like yourself to write magnificent songs. We've got a great song, Highest Praise.
Love that song.
That have come out of our C3LA church.
Great song, great church.
And I won't tell you who the writers of that is, but I think my own family might have been involved in that a little. But I want us to listen to this, and then we're going to come. I've really got a big point I want to make about this just after we've listened to a segment of this. Let's listen to that. Fantastic. I mean, just the feeling. I mean, listeners who are listening in right now, you possibly wanted us to keep on playing that, because I kind of feel like, wow, it is so wonderful.
It's everything that we're talking about
right now. I know. Right there, you feel the garment of praise coming on you and you just want to dance and sing and spin and jump and think, wow, this is an awesome thing. And we've got to keep ourselves filled with praise so that we don't get filled with complaining or with cynicism. And
exactly.
It's the antidote. Listen, I want to tell you a story just in regards to the idea of getting that garment of praise on when we don't really feel like it, which I think is the sacrifice of praise.
Yes.
What the Bible talks about. So this is a story of a friend of mine who spoke to me about this gentleman who he saw, and he had a spiritual insight. You know, like Elisha, when his servant said, oh, what do we do? We're surrounded. And he said, Lord, open his eyes.
Yeah.
And he saw all these angels.
Sure. Around.
Well, that happened to my friend. And he saw this person that he knew, very depressed person, to the point of thinking about taking his own life. Very discouraged, very anxious, very down. Now, this may not be the condition for everybody facing these circumstances, but it definitely is the situation for many. As his eyes opened up, he saw, through this kind of prophetic insight, he saw demons crowded around this guy, and they had clubs, and they were all crowding over his head and saying, you're hopeless, you're useless, you should end it all. You're never going to escape this. And he was agreeing with them. He was saying, I'm useless. I'm hopeless. I'm depressed. I can't see any way out of all this. And they were going, yeah, that's right. Then he noticed that there were angels in a circle around, and they looked discouraged. They were with their heads down. They had weapons like swords, but they were also hanging to the ground, and they were just standing there, unactivated. But then he knew that as he was standing there, and this guy saw the person who was depressed, he saw what was happening to him, and he saw these angels, and he knew instinctively that what he needed to do was to start praising God.
Wow.
To lift his hands. He didn't feel like it.
Mm.
He felt depressed and like he was going down. So he lifted his hands. He started to worship and praise God. And instantly the angels lifted their heads, unsheathed their swords, came in amongst those demons who now were starting to scatter. And there was a battle and he was set free.
Wow.
And I've always remembered that story. It's like 35 years ago that he would have told me about that, even longer. And I thought, and the guy who was telling me, he was a more conservative sort of Christian. It wasn't like he was given to that kind of imaging and vision. So it was kind of like a surprise to him. However, I think the reality is there that praise can be the salvation of some people. And it engages us in spiritual warfare to bring down the enemy.
Yeah.
So it is not just a nice optional throwaway section at the start of a service.
Mm.
It is actually incredibly important to clear the atmosphere and to prepare the way that we can actually connect with God in heaven.
Yeah, well, we talk about, you know, worship being warfare, but it's actually praise that is warfare.
Jehoshaphat sent those praises out.
Yeah, yeah. Even that part of that scripture, it says the enemy came to invade Judah. Mm-hmm. What does Judah mean?
Praise.
Even on the whole cynicism thing, I believe there's an enemy. There's a spirit that wants to shut down and silence praise.
Mm-hmm.
The devil hates praise.
Yeah.
Because it's warfare.
Just what I just said.
It's atomic. It
scatters the enemy.
It scatters the enemy. Exactly.
It's extremely powerful. You know, there's a guy in the Old Testament called Elkanah, and it's in the book of Ruth. I don't know if you remember that. And he left Bethlehem, Judah, which is house of bread and praise.
Yeah, well.
And he walked away from that. Doesn't mean in our world we just walk away. That's not just talking about people who leave church, but it does. It does refer to that. But it's about us when we just start walking away from the word of God and praise. And I think that is the power of what you do.
Sure.
And your team.
Yeah.
The musicians, We have just the best team. I love every one of them. And the singers, people like Linda Bax, yeah. and then all around the world, our C3 bands and teams. And hearing these music forms coming out like we've just listened to. And then there are plenty of other churches that are producing praise and worship. And I think the whole earth should be full of praise.
Yes.
Full of praise in these days. And hey, that rhymes. Maybe that's a song. I used to write songs. You know that?
I know. And even when I think about, I grew up in our church. Yeah. 36 years ago, you dedicated me to the Lord, Pastor Phil. And I think about, and I was very young at the time, but yes, when I obviously. Think about the praise and worship in our church, when our church birthed and started and in those first couple of years, all those songs in my mind they're all praise songs. Mm-hmm. And they're very declarative, anthemic. Mm-hmm. They got you moving. It's songs like "I Walk by Faith," "Fear Not."
Yeah,
I think it's very interesting.
And we need more of that today.
Yes,
in a day where people are feeling heavy.
Yes,
feeling depressed, joyful, buoyant, victorious.
Yeah,
declaring songs, and we're not asking people to ignore the fact that we do go through heartbreak and dilemma, you know, difficult times.
Yeah,
but in spite of that. With a broken heart even, we can come before God and give him all the praise. Hey, it's been a pleasure to talk with you, Danny. We're looking forward to this weekend in church all around the world. It's going to be magnificent. So people, let's be people of praise and power. Don't forget to subscribe to C3 Church Global Podcast and follow us on Instagram, Phil Pringle. And my wife is Chris A. Pringle. What are you, Danny?
Dan Karotz.
Just Dan Karotz. That's with a Z on the end. K-O-R-O-C-Z.
Wow,
Dan.
Got it right.
Yeah, and I love the Karotz family. They're wonderful people. Your wife is an amazing woman as well.
She is.
Incredible.
She is.
And great preacher.
Amazing
preacher.
She's
preached for last week, I think. She preached in church. So it is an amazing thing to have all of these incredibly talented, empowered, wonderful people doing such a work of building the church in these days. God bless you. Don't forget to rate us and send in any comments, please. We'd love to know how we can do better. And if you would like me to have a conversation with somebody about any topic, please don't hesitate to ask. We're really wanting to bring things that help churches, individuals, leaders, pastors in all areas, at all kinds of levels in this hour, because we know that the church is growing. And it grows through everybody reaching out and helping one another. And so whatever we can do to help, we're going to be doing that. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, let the blessing and the power of the Holy Spirit rest on every listener here today. In the name of Jesus, amen.